Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Satan doesn't try to steal away an illustration. He doesn't try to steal away a joke, but he will instantly snatch the seed of the truth that lands on your heart.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about living in broken ground. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 2010. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, living in broken ground.
I'd like us to turn to the book of Luke chapter 8 and take a parable that Christ took. The fruit of that truth is not going to be dependent upon the effectiveness of the seed, because the seed in this parable was not the problem. The problem in this parable was the ground. The flawless seed was cast, and those that were landing on flawed ground produced no fruit. But the seed landed on good ground, produced fruit abundantly. The seed was never at fault, but the ground was revealed to be flawed and not able to receive the seed and bear fruit of that seed. There had been quite a revival, if you want to call it that, in Galilee, where Christ was seeing tremendous works accomplished. Great multitudes began to be followed and began following in chapter 8 and verse 1. And it came about soon afterward that he began going from city to city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. So it was Christ and his 12, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, those who had been touched by Christ, then joined the 12 in Christ as they went from place to place. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom seven devils had gone, can you imagine going with Christ, you being one of the 12, and then people who went with you to another city giving testimony of what God had done? And then Mary Magdalene, out of whom seven devils were cast, was there to be able to share what had happened in her life. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, isn't that something? And Susanna and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. So you had givers, you had supporters, you had people who were growing. And when a great multitude were coming together, all of this happening, they picked up more people along the way, more and more and more followers. A very close picture of John chapter 6, where people followed because of the miracles they saw. They followed because of the meat that was provided. They followed because the multitudes were there. And then Christ drew the lines of discipleship, and they were left only with those who followed because Christ was their master. We see a similar situation here. A great multitude now has formed, and Jesus lifts up his voice. Verse 4, and when a great multitude were coming together, and those from various villages were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable, and the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the road, beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Another seed fell on rocky soil, and it soon grew and withered away because it had no moisture. Another seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. The other seed fell on good ground and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And he said these things. He would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That phrase, "years to hear, let him hear," that phrase was given 7 times while Christ was here on earth. It was 8 times after the resurrection. These are all Revelation references. The first, "he who has ears to hear," was a warning about careless listening. In other words, be careful how you listen. The last 8 times given in Revelation were warnings regarding the worship of Antichrist, who was in a deceptive way was trying to get his following. The first seven times, it is the beginning of unbelief. The last eight times, the revelation of the end of unbelief. So we hear that phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples didn't quite understand what was going on. In verse 9, and his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable might be. And they said, to you it is granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. Now he begins explaining to his disciples what this parable was regarding that parable of the sower. And he said in verse 11, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Now, as I said in my introduction, the problem in this parable was not the seed, because the seed was the flawless word of God. And by God's grace from this pulpit, every day that you were taught, that you will be taught the flawless word of God. And so we see that the seed is God's word. We have three elements of this parable. One is the sower, the other is the seed, and the other is the ground. And now we begin to see this unfolded. Verse 12, and beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so they may not believe and be saved. So the first kind of soil that is described here was that soil called wayside. It was beside the road. And I want you to notice a common denominator in every one of these soils. They all received the seed. It landed on all four soils. So this was not addressed to a group that was outside of the realm of the hearing of truth. These were not those of the world who had no knowledge of truth, no exposure to truth. They were those who now were in a position of following what Christ had been doing and hearing what Christ had been saying. This group would well describe the Pharisees and the scribes, those who had the truth land on their hearts. But there was a very demonic type influence that hindered that seed from landing. So he said, those on the wayside of those that hear. But Satan comes and takes that seed away from their heart. This is called a wayside heart, or I call it the disinterested heart. Demonically diverted. It is easy to be very quickly diverted. It will be easy for Satan to take that seed as it lands and quickly snatch that seed away. I remember one time in CIT, and that's a special group. I never forget faces. I always forget your names. Don't be offended at that, please. My goal this year is to memorize the 10 grandkids' names. And so don't be offended if I call you Harold or Haroldine, because that's not a belittling. That's just me being my typical brain-dead self. But it's good to see the faces of those CITers. And I've often said in CIT, I asked a question. How many of you remember the message your pastor preached last Sunday morning? He said, the seed was broadcast. It was thrown out. How many of you remember the seed? How many of you remember the truth? Then I say, if a joke was told, how many remember that joke? Or if an illustration was used, how many remember the illustration? But how many actually remember the truth that was given? Satan doesn't try to steal away an illustration. He doesn't try to steal away a joke. But he will instantly snatch the seed of the truth that lands on your heart. And the seed is being broadcast. And as soon as it lands, it is snatched away. That's the wayside heart. Heard, but no reception. And then we see, we move on here, and verse 13, and those on rocky soil are those who, when they hear, there's that common denominator. They hear, they're under the hearing of the word. They receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. So this is the stony or the rocky soil. First group I call the disinterested group. This group I call the deceived group. This could be pictured perhaps by a Demas. A Demas who was there visibly functioning, but when the time of real testing came along, Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And there should be an evidence of new birth, not just an emotional response, not just a heart was stirred and tears came and you went forward with a large group. There's a good chance you heard the truth, received the truth, repented to salvation at that time. But there's a chance that you may have just been carried away. But how do you know? I think you know by how you have stood since that time. Have you stood firmly, and there's been a hunger, and there has been a growing in your life during that time? You'll know how have I received the truth, and then how have I responded to that truth. I remember I was speaking at the Wilds of the Rockies some years ago, and I was talking about the fruit of new birth. Is there evidence that I am indeed God's child? So a young man came to me and he said, I am speaking on behalf of a group of us from our church. We believe that you are preaching salvation by works. And I said, son, I agree with you if you let me change one word. I'm not preaching salvation by works. I am preaching salvation that works. I said, if you let me change that one word, I will agree with you. And thank the Lord, later in that week, God got a hold of hearts. You say, it's not just an easy believism. I grabbed this pardon, put it in my pocket, and head back to the pig pen. That is not new birth. And you will know how that truth was received. And as soon as you hit the wall, are you going to turn? As soon as you hit a time of testing, will you say, well, see you later, God? Or will you say, the word has landed on my heart and it is fixed so firmly in my heart that I will cling tightly to the truth, even though I am wrestling right now about, does a good God allow this? You have an anchored assurance within your soul that God is always right. And His word is absolute truth. So this was a very shallow type thing. This is what I fear in the years gone by during the era that I call the church swelling era, not the church growth era, but church swelling. Churches increased in size, but I think that many of the pews were filled with unregenerate people. And the testing showed evidently when they were empty auditoriums, you could shoot a cannon through some morning services that had one time been packed and not hit a person. And this is a stony heart. Then the third one here, we see in verse 14, and the seed which fell among thorns, these are the ones who have heard. They go on their way. They are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. There is no growth. This is called the thorny ground. One was a wayside ground that was manifesting a disinterest in truth. There was a stony heart that was indicating a deceived heart. Now we see a divided heart. The mind is knowing this, but the old flesh is wanting to go. And so James 1:8 says, a double-minded man, a two-souled man is unstable in all his ways. and you have a divided heart, there is not going to be a real time of growing in your heart. And I think this could easily be pictured by the rich young ruler. And when you look at the age in which Christ was ministering, and you find that there were the scribes and the Pharisees with no interest, and you had those who were a Demas type who had a deceived heart and gave up as soon as the pressure came on, then you see those with divided hearts who say, okay, Master, I want to know about the kingdom, but I'm not sure that I'm willing to turn loose. And his heart was divided. But he gives three categories here. The cares of this life. What are some of the cares of life? Well, that could be, and it could be your health. You might have come with a very, very difficult home situation. You may have left a situation back home and you don't know what you're going to find when you get back. Nobody knows what's going on in your heart, and this care is weighing you down. It may be your appearance. I remember one time when we were on the road at Life Action Ministries, I went on our bus. We had a Silver Eagle bus where the girls would have the back end, back section with mirrors to get ready to go and do these high school assembly programs, and they would be getting ready. And one girl had opened up a case and took a pair of pliers out, and she took those pliers and latched them on like this. And I was looking, I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Curling my eyelashes." And I looked, sure enough, there were little sprigs, and she was squeezing. I'd never seen pliers. I've never worked on a chainsaw with those kind of pliers with rubber on the tips. I said, "How does that work?" Well, sure enough, the eyelashes were little sprigs sticking up. I said, "Don't let your elbow slip." Because, boy, you would have the couple, two or three little things, and then you'd have to finish the job completely. Otherwise, you would really look awkward. Trying to make yourself... What do guys do? They have a set of dumbbells under the bed. One big one lays on top. And they pull those things out, and they're looking at the mirror, and a little lump appears. And boy, here we go. Go to bed, all encouraged, get up the next morning to check it out. It's gone. It was a blood vessel. That happens sometimes when you... When you work out, you eventually a blood vessel. Well, this care of life, those are kind of natural things. You can get over that, as you see I have many, many years ago. I've just concentrated more on the middle portion. I go, since I had this new steel hip put in the spring, every time I go through airports now, I get beeped, and I say, "It's my abs of steel." I talked to a guy in Los Angeles a while back. I said, "Dig deep, you'll find them." Or, for the English faculty, "Dig deeply." And use that adverbial clause. I have to be careful when I use a verb that I back it up with an adverb. Because some of you tightened up as soon as I said deep. But they don't take my word for it. So they have to screen me, get me in this thing that goes around you. And they take this picture and they find that there is a steel piece in my hip, and it was not my abs of steel. Cares of life. Riches of life. The deceitfulness of riches, the Bible says. What is burdening you? You say, "Well, I don't know that I'm going to have enough for the next payment." That's natural dealing with life. But these things, when you have a converted heart, these don't turn you away from your focus on God. Then it says the pleasures of life. These are things that, one of the other gospels in the same parable speaks of the lust of other things. You think what you lacked in your work, or what you could not buy for a car, or what your mind is dealing with these things. And 1 John is answering 2:15, 16, and 17. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For whoever loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world is the lust of the flesh, Lust of the eyes, pride of life. These not are of the Father, but they are of the world. You go back to the Garden of Eden. It was the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You follow that pattern through these temptations that Christ faced when he was 40 days being tempted of Satan. It was the lust of the flesh, turn the stones to bread, lust of the eyes, look at the kingdoms. The pride of life, jump off the pinnacle of the temple and you will be worshipped before the eyes of the people. That same triad was used from the Garden of Eden. It was used again on Satan. It is being used on you. Satan used it on Christ in the temptations in the wilderness, and it will be used on you. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. But they can be indications of a thorny heart. And it says, bring no fruit with to maturity. And so these three kind of groans, but the common denominator, they all heard. The seed landed on all three grounds. So this is a disappointing response. And then we close, verse 15. And the seed in the good ground. These are the ones who have heard. There's our word, heard. Heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Now, no one after lighting a lamp covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it in a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, and nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Therefore, take care how you listen. There's the word here again. But it says, be careful how you hear. All hear. But Christ is saying, take heed how you hear. And that's the challenge I want to give you. Take heed how you hear. Because what you hear will be multiple. How you hear will be 100% dependent on the condition of your heart. Now let's close looking at this good heart. What was true of this good ground? The seed in the good ground are these who, having heard in an honest. So step number one is a heart that is honest. What is a good heart that bears fruit? It's an honest heart. You'll see that word in our seal. The first word in our seal, honesty, obedience, wisdom, service. But the first word in the seal is honest. I will be honest. I will not wear a mask. One of the things we plead with you, tear off the mask. Get honest with yourself. Get honest before God. Because if you're going to have a heart that is bearing fruit, that is going to have to be a heart that first of all just bears itself before God as David did in Psalm 51. And then a good heart. Interesting, there's kalos, that's a true heart, and the second word there is agathos, and one is made morally right. I'm honest, and then God makes my heart morally right. Honest. Step one, God does the work of making a good heart. And then it says, hears, and then holds it fast. What is true of a heart that bears fruit? It's honest. It has been made morally right. It keeps what it hears. And I like what the New American Standard has here. Holds it fast. The seed lands and it holds that seed fast. It's not snatched away by the devil. It's not there for a moment and gone. It's not there and choked, but it's there and it is held fast. Make a covenant in your heart. God, what I hear, God, let me hold it fast. When the word exposes my heart, God, let me be honest and agree with you. And then let me take that truth and hold it fast. And then it bears fruit. It says it bears fruit with perseverance. It's not a flash in the pan thing. It's a long process of your sanctification. It's a long process of your growing in Christ, growing in the knowledge of Him. It's a long, patient process till we see Him face to face, that we then keep that truth and we in patience bear fruit. And this could be pictured by a Nicodemus, by a Joseph of Arimathea. Isn't it interesting who asked for the body of Christ? Nicodemus. See, whatever happened to Nicodemus? He was at the cross asking for the body of Christ. Joseph of Arimathea, both had been secret disciples for fear, but yet they became more and more and more. The truth that was given in John chapter 3 landed on a good heart called Nicodemus's heart. Joseph of Arimathea. And there they are wanting the body of Christ to bury that, and they were publicly now identifying with Him. It's indicative of those who have gone on in productiveness in their life. It goes on in the heart of an Apostle Paul who received that seed on the road to Damascus. And he got honest, was made morally right, clung to that truth, and became a fruit-bearing person. And it begins with you here. How you receive the truth. What you hear is not an issue. That's our responsibility, to be very diligent to give you truth, because there will be some demons. There will be some who are scribes, and there will be some who are those who just let the seed get choked like the rich young ruler. But then there will be others who will go on to perfection, on to maturity, as you're growing your Christian life.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala with a message titled, Living in Broken Ground. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.